Our Holy Orthodox Church accepts as the source of the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, all the New Testament, and the Holy Tradition of our Church. It is known that Western Christianity, outside of the Roman Catholics, denies the sacred tradition of our Church, the holy mysteries, intercessions of saints, liturgical worship, etc. The Western Christians, in their attempt to reinvent the wheel, have succeeded in inventing a Christianity that is unrecognizable and totally powerless to stand up against evil. Our society is living proof of that. Protestant Christianity today has hundreds of different divisions, and new denominations are added to the list each year. This is certainly not the work or the fruit of the Holy Spirit, anything but that. This lack of unity only reveals the lack of the Holy Spirit and its sanctifying grace. The Holy Orthodox Church, united and unchanged over the centuries, is patiently waiting for all the estranged children to join her again in love and truth. There is much talk today among Christian circles about love, peace, and unity, but Christ will be absent if these efforts compromise truth. It is rather sad that some Orthodox clergy and lay theologians today, being easily impressed by the spirit of activism characteristic of Western Christianity, are eager to accept change and sacrifice church traditions while introducing innovations and unorthodox teachings to their faithful. Whether they do this out of ignorance or because of pride, which usually characterizes those who actively seek change, they are hurting the true body of Christ, His church, which He bought with His own blood. Also in this category belong the neo-Orthodox Christians who are pushing for a neo-Orthodoxy, a synchronistic or modern church, a church that adapts to our changing world and needs. According to the ever-memorable Archimandrite Epiphanios Theodoropoulos, this is a tragic falsehood. His book, The Two Extreme, says, to synchronize the church, but why? The imperfect evolve, the temporary synchronize, the perishable change. The church as dogma and as grace and faith and as life of sanctity, it is something over and above time. How can the perfect evolve? How can the timeless be modernized according to the times? How can the imperishable be altered? Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the church, being the body of Christ, is also the same yesterday, today, and forever. The church does not disagree to use modern and technological means to facilitate the spread of the gospel, but always the same gospel of Christ crucified, the gospel of the cross, and not any other one. We, as Orthodox Christians today, bear a great responsibility. We must educate ourselves and our children to the eternal truths of our church, to be able to attract our neighbors and close associates to Orthodoxy, to the fullness of Christ. Unfortunately, due to our lukewarm feelings more often than not, at times we lose our young people to Protestant denominations, to godless lifestyles, or to non-Christian beliefs. We can blame society, television, the generation gap, the language barrier, or even the inadequacy of our clergy, but the truth is that we are all guilty as worldly Orthodox Christians. To believe in one thing and to do another is the definition of hypocrisy, and our children witness that in our daily lives. Most of us are Orthodox by name or by birth and have no idea what our church expects from us. Unfortunately, this denial of our Christian identity and Orthodox tradition is the rule in most of our Orthodox congregations. Our young people translate this personal lukewarmness of ours as general weakness of our Orthodox faith, and they become scandalized. This was the case with a few of our young Greek Orthodox men who had left the church to look elsewhere for answers. At one of our recent community gatherings, they were attempting to question or disprove some of our church's beliefs as they were taught by their Protestant born-again friends. In the spirit of love, we welcomed their questions and we suggested to have a series of meetings and friendly discussions to re-educate them along with some of our other youth who were greatly interested in getting closer to Christ. By the grace of God, much progress has been made, and we thought that it would be of some benefit to record some of these topics, like holy tradition, the saints of our church, the place of the Theotokos in our church, the mystery of the coming of the Lord, and some of the occultic movements. These studies were held in the parish of St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Church with the blessings and presence of our Lehigh Valley Orthodox priests. These studies are designed to give some practical answers to our young and to all Orthodox Christians who are truly searching for the truth. We want to emphasize that we simply touched on some of these topics, and our minute efforts in no way exhaust any one of these subjects. The method used is in line with the holy tradition of our church. We offer nothing subjective, but faithfully follow the teachings or writings of our church fathers, of the church militant, and church triumphant. We relied heavily on the book of the ever-memorable Archimandrite Joel Yannakopoulos, An Orthodox Evangelical Debate, the teachings of Archimandrite Father Athanasios Mytilineos of Larissa, the book of theologian Athanasios Frangopoulos, Our Christian Orthodox Faith, the book of the ever-memorable Archimandrite Haralambos Vasilopoulos on the Theotokos, and the Greek cassette program of an apologetic dialogue between an Orthodox named Costa versus a Jehovah Witness named Christo. So by the grace of God and the blessing of our church, we began our studies discussing holy tradition. Our church accepts as the source of the Word of God the Holy Scriptures and holy tradition. At the mention of the word tradition, the non-Orthodox hasten to refer to Matthew 15:7. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. It is clear, therefore, that Jesus here is talking about the tradition of men, which has nothing to do with and clearly opposes Holy Scripture. Unfortunately, even today, some of these idolatric traditions and superstitions exist and are practiced among some of our lukewarm and uninformed Orthodox Christians. For example, the blue eye or blue handa, used as protection against the evil eye for babies or adults, horseshoe necklaces, good luck charms, and luck superstitions in general, the seclusion of the wife to her house for 40 days after the husband dies are all demon-inspired traditions and are totally denounced by our church. The holy tradition of our church has nothing to do with traditions of men. It is solely based on the unwritten teachings of Jesus Christ and his holy apostles. By only accepting Holy Scripture as the word of God, we denounce and reject the oral teachings and unrecorded deeds of Christ. St. John warns us about this in John 21:25. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them was written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This makes it quite obvious that the apostles were left with a great deal of information in their memory after Jesus ascended, certainly a lot more than what was recorded in the Gospels. If we reject this holy tradition, then we contradict ourselves, because it was holy tradition that validated and canonized the Bible as we know it today. After Pentecost, the Word of God was passed down by word of mouth. There were no Gospels to follow. They were recorded about 20 to 30 years later. There were many pseudo-Gospels and holy tradition acting as the conscience of the church, had to decide which writings were divinely inspired and which were simply historical or inaccurate. The same church fathers who taught infant baptism and constituted the Nicene Creed also decided how many books should be included in the New Testament and be revered as the infallible Word of God. It was this holy tradition which included the book of Revelation in the divinely inspired books of the New Testament about 320 years after it was written. This originally oral sacred apostolic tradition slowly but surely was systematized by the Holy Fathers and was put down in writing and included dogmatic definitions which would guard the church from a plethora of heresies and vicious wolves always feeding on the flock. Only the Orthodox Church has as a source of its teaching this holy tradition of equal value with Holy Scripture. The Protestants have completely rejected holy tradition and accept only Holy Scripture, which does not represent the entire teachings of Christ and the Apostles. The Roman Catholics, after the Seventh Ecumenical Council, added new dogmas and innovations totally contrary to the Holy Scripture. Examples include the famous Filioque, papal primacy, indulgences, purgatory, sprinkling instead of baptism, supererogatory works of the saints, infallibility of the Pope, Immaculate Conception of Mary, and many others that deviate greatly from the truth of the Gospel. Thus far, we hope to have made clear the fact that our church tradition has nothing to do with the tradition of men. Now we will clearly present holy tradition as it appears in the Scriptures. In 2 Thessalonians 2:15, St. Paul is very specific. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you would have been taught, whether by word of mouth or by epistle. And in chapter 3, verse 6 of the same book, he becomes even more specific. Now we commend you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received from us. In 1 Corinthians 11:12, St. Paul repeats himself. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and you hold on to the traditions as I deliver them to you. Some translations use the word ordinances, but the Greek says paradosis or paradosis, which means tradition. St. Paul once again will give us a clearer understanding of what this tradition means in Philippians 4:9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace will be with you. They would have the God of peace with them if they imitated Paul's prayers, fasting, services, liturgical and sacramental life, which Paul demonstrated to them in person, since Holy Scriptures are not very specific on these matters. St. Paul will touch on this subject again in 2 Timothy 3:10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. So once again, Paul in this instance does not recommend to Timothy to simply read the scriptures, but urges him to include the entire source of knowledge available to him. One of these invaluable treasures of our church are the lives of the saints. If we, the faithful, want to be constantly inspired with burning zeal, we should read and contemplate the lives of the saints, as St. Paul suggests to Timothy. We always need to look to Christ and to his champions, the saints, for our much-needed inspiration. The following examples will demonstrate how valuable holy tradition is in scripture interpretation. In Colossians chapter 4, in verse 15, the Christian Nymphas appears as a male in the King James Version and as a female in the New International Version. Is it Nymphas or Nympha? And in verse 16 of the same chapter, Colossians 4:16, we read, after this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. What letter from Laodicea? There is no letter from Laodicea in the New Testament. How can we possibly begin to answer a question such as this without holy tradition, which also includes historical writings of the church and commentaries from the Apostolic Church Fathers? Holy tradition tells us that Nymphas was a man and not a lady. About the letter from Laodicea, Father Athanasius Mytilineos tells us that this was one of the letters that was lost, further proving that the Bible as we know it does not represent everything that was written and taught by the apostles. So it becomes quite obvious that it is often impossible to interpret the Holy Scriptures correctly without holy tradition. In Acts 18:11, we see that St. Paul stayed in Corinth for 1.5 years, and in Acts 19:10, he will stay in Ephesus for 2 years. What did he teach? Obviously, all those things that he learned and received and heard from Christ. Unlike what our Protestant friends teach, he did not hand them a few books of the Bible and suggest to them to interpret the scriptures on their own, since now the Holy Spirit would speak to them directly. No such thing happened. This is a great falsehood that the non-Orthodox have fallen into believing. St. Paul stayed with the Christians for years, teaching them how to pray, how to live their faith, and how to interpret the scriptures correctly. It takes great work to acquire godly wisdom. There is nothing automatic about it. It is a lifetime ascent, with the first step described in Proverbs 1:7, where wise Solomon states, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." The final step is found in the life of Saint Anthony the Great, whose victorious battles against countless demons would bring him to such a state of perfection where he would humbly confess that "I no longer fear God, but I love him." It was this most powerful love for Christ that claimed the lives of 11 million Christians through the first 3 centuries. And this is the love that Christians will need in the days of the Antichrist. St. Paul and the holy apostles were obediently following their Maker's example. In John 4, verse 40 and 42, Jesus will converse with the Samaritan woman, who would then tell the Samaritans, "Come and see the man who told me everything I have done." So when they came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. What did Christ teach in those 2 days? The Holy Scripture is silent about what was taught. However, the holy apostles once again saw and heard what was taught, and they would subsequently teach these things, they being the Lord's will. He commands them in Matthew 28:19-20, to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This, of course, means the written and unwritten teachings of Christ. Along the same lines, in Acts 1:3, we will read that Jesus stayed with the disciples for 40 days after his resurrection to strengthen and further teach them. Once again, nowhere in the Holy Scriptures do we find specifically what he taught. But the apostles would teach and pass down all that they were taught and commend us to hold on to the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word of mouth or by epistle. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. It is possible that by our traditional views and beliefs, of which none are ours but the work of our church fathers, we may be misunderstood by some listeners who may have members of their family or friends belonging to a non-Eastern Orthodox faith. We may even be accused and have our tone misinterpreted as lacking love and compassion. Unfortunately, quite a few of our Orthodox lay people and clergy, especially those who succumb to the spirit of ecumenism will strongly disagree with us. This energy of falsehood, 2 Thessalonians 2:11, leads them to believe that they have more love than Saint John, the Apostle of Love, who commands us not to allow a heretic to enter our home or to exchange greetings with him, 2 John 1:10. Or might they have more compassion than Saint Paul, who advises us in 2 Thessalonians 3:6, "Now we commend you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received from us." Or might they have more respect than our Lord Jesus Christ, that they are eager to teach our Sunday school children to respect other people's religions? While Christ will see no problem in calling the unbelieving Jews those from the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 3:9. Yes, we love and respect all people, for they are creations of God. Yet we cannot respect their religions if they are based on falsehood and lies, because the devil is the father of lies, and he needs no respect. Contrary to much popular opinion, permissiveness is not necessarily a proof for love. More often is indifference. They do not really believe in the heavenly kingdom. They are eager to be looked upon as kindly and generous, as lovers of mankind, love with no bounds, while the traditional Orthodox is portrayed as a hypocritical Pharisee, dry, formal, and hair-splitting, a real killjoy devoid of, quote, Christian love, unquote. This picture could not be more false, according to Archimandrite Epiphanios Theodoropoulos, responding to the ecumenists. You claim to really love the heretics? Listen to the bitter truth. No, we love the heretics truly and sincerely, we, the narrow-minded and the fanatics, and not you. Your love is not pure, but superficial and fictitious. Your love does not come from above, but it is earthly, biological, demonic. Who truly loves the sick person? He who tells him, "You are in great health, eat anything that you like," and in doing so, illness overtakes him, resulting to a quick death, or he who alarms him about his condition and prescribes a strict diet. We, by alarming the heretics, uncovering their falsehoods and calling out to them that they are following the wrong path, we strongly hope that we awake their conscience and motivate them to search for the truth. By declaring that we are all one, nothing separates us from the heretics, etc., you sedating them into hibernation and excluding them from the way of the truth. No, the traditional Orthodox loves, and his love is genuine, and he fights until all people come to the only true Church of Jesus Christ. When a countless number of men succeeding one another, generation after generation for 2,000 years, stubbornly maintain an identity of beliefs and standards, the motive can be nothing less than love and loyalty to something they believe more important than their own lives. So let's hold on to the traditions, whether they are passed down by epistle or word of mouth.